The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Brian T. Smith of The Chronicle wrote a story on how much Gomez is struggling. So here's the quote. For the last year and this year, I not really do much for this team. The fans be angry, they be disappointed. English is his second language. It makes him look bad, there's no question. I'm a little surprised that he used the quote exactly like that.
If a guy is willing to talk to you about something like that, like how much he sucks right now,
yeah,
you kind of want to not make him look like an a-hole.
You see, Jose Altuve guaranteed a home run for a cancer patient. So
good for him. And that guy's having a hell of a season.
It's kind of getting lost because the rest of the team is not so good. He's really emerged as a great player, unfortunately.
And while everyone thought that this was the year that Correa became, like, you know, one of the best players in the league,
yeah,
it's not even close who the best player on this team is right now. It's Jose Altuve.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, our next guest came up in a conversation yesterday. We were just talking about who was the last great heavyweight. Who did we mention? Lennox Lewis, who joins us now.
Thank you. You know, I thought you guys forgot about me.
No forgetting, my man.
You had such an amazing career. First off, I have to tell you, you're my wife's favorite fighter because she's from Canada and she still talks about the gold medal from Seoul.
Oh, good.
So, you had such an amazing career. You fought Tyson. You fought Holyfield. You fought Holyfield twice and really beat him twice and only got credit for it once. When you look back on it, I mean, you have to be pretty happy with the way your career went.
Yeah, I am very happy. It wasn't easy. It's never easy boxing out of your country, boxing in another country. You know, I used to remember going in places, I would be booed. You know, he's British. And then when I was coming out, I'd be cheered. Okay, you're not that bad. So I kind of like changing people's opinion all the time.
I will be a man and admit when I was wrong, but your last fight against Vitaly Klitschko, I bet against you.
Oh, man. And that's naughty. That's naughty.
No, it's terrible of me. And you end up winning that fight. He gets cut. I think he had to get 60 stitches was the number, something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know at the time that was your last fight. Did you know that you were done at that point?
Yeah, actually, I was done before that. Mike Tyson was supposed to be my last fight. You know, I couldn't retire without facing Mike Tyson. Every time I got my hair cut, there was always an argument. Holyfield's the best. Tyson's the best. Yo, that's because he never fought Lewis. You know what I mean? So I just wanted that to be, you know, out there before I retire. And, you know, when I was going to retire, HBO said, oh, you know, we got this other guy. He's you know, it's icing on the cake. Klitschko. He's Germany. They're soft.
It turns out he's 10 times better than what Mike Tyson was at the time you fought him.
Plus, he weighs a lot more.
He's a giant.
And he's got some uncanny lean-back style. So that was weird to just kind of get into that and adapt to his style.
Why did you walk away at that time? Because it seems like, I mean, you were still a dominant force at that time. Do you feel like you wanted, was it for health reasons? Did you want to make sure that you're not one of these guys walking around drooling on yourself? Or what was the deal?
There's a couple reasons. You know, I wanted to beat everybody in my era. Everybody, the last guy was Tyson. Klitschko was actually the new era.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, I could touch the new era and beat the best guy out there. And I was supposed to actually, you know, I took a year off of Tyson, and my first fight was supposed to be this guy from Canada, and he didn't fight me, and I was supposed to fight Klitschko at the end of the year. So I actually changed my plan and took the fight in 17 days notice.
The Klitschko fight?
Yes. Oh, in my retrospect, I wouldn't do it again. No sparring. One week of sparring with a guy 6'8". And he only sparred me for like 4 days.
Before the cut, that was a very competitive fight. Like, is he one of your toughest fights when you look back at things?
You know, I look at myself that at my worst, I beat him at his best. This guy was training for 2 years waiting for the chance. So he's, you know, he talked to Kurt Johnson from Canada and said, listen, don't box him. Let me box and I'll give you first dibs after. But I'm ready for him right now. So I didn't know how ready he was. He was ready for me. But what wasn't ready for me was his skin.
No.
You know, you know, in order to be a great fighter, you have to be able to box on the inside, the outside, have stamina, have a great chin, and not get cut. Because you can't, you don't want to be the best fighter out there, and then all of a sudden you cut easy, and all of a sudden you're bleeding so badly that they have to stop the fight.
Because nothing else matters at that point.
So that's part of the qualifications in being a great champion.
Well, when you look back at all the great guys you fought, you fought Mike Tyson. You said everybody in your era, and you did. Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, you beat them all. Who was the toughest match for you, in your opinion?
I thought Evander Holyfield gave me a different aspect of it because he threw in something in there that I wasn't really expecting. His head. So I had to adapt and realize, you know, I blocked both of his punches. Then I got into my kung fu mode and protected myself with his head. And it was interesting because, you know, it's the first time I really had to adapt in a fight.
Looking back on that, the second McCall fight, is that the weirdest thing that ever happened in your career?
I was prepared for everything. I was working hard. I chased him for 2 years around the world. Don King ran from me because he didn't want Oliver McCall back in the ring with me. Anyway, got in the ring with him. This is after him not coming to no press conferences or nothing. So we felt something was up. Anyway, when I was in the ring and he started crying, I wasn't really prepared for that. But I remember Manny, me coming back to Manny and goes, you know, I went to Manny and said, yo, he's crying. I don't care if he's crying. Then you go over there and beat him up. Like, you know, it's not really my forte to beat up a guy that's crying. So I'm glad that the referee actually stopped it.
Interesting defense that he tried to use there. Lennox Lewis is our guest. What is it going to take to get – because I think we all want the next great heavyweight. What's it going to take? I mean, it's been since you. Let's be honest.
Mean, I'm happy. I'm like fine wine. I get better with time. we're just waiting for a next explosion, eruption. And, you know, volcanoes erupt every once in a while of a great superstar. And a heavyweight superstar. So, you know, when somebody, you know, is going for a basketball tryout or a football tryout and they don't make it, try boxing. Individual sport. It only depends on you. You don't have to depend on no team.
What do you think about this fight Saturday night?
Good matchup. Great matchup. Really, what you're waiting for is Canelo to catch up with Khan and Khan to move around the ring and box. So that's what makes a great fight because one's going to catch up with the other and we're going to see which one imposes their will on the other.
You know, we were talking about the last great heavyweight, and when you look at Vladimir Klitschko and what he accomplished, and he was the champion for a really long time. I mean, since he went from 2004 before he lost to Tyson Fury. If he even made an effort to be exciting, do you think that people would have accepted him and embraced him more as a champion? Or is it, I mean, does style really matter?
100%. Styles do matter. I mean, you know, he's coming from a weird side because he should have learned by watching Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson went out and knocked everybody out. Everybody was excited, so he created that excitement. Then all of a sudden, now you're coming as a heavyweight. How do you create excitement? You know, you have to knock out people. Or even if you don't knock them out, let us see you trying to knock them out.
Right.
So I think that's important in a fighter's life. But, you know, he wasn't programmed that way. You know, he's coming from a European side of boxing, and they look at boxing differently. If he was an American, they would say, oh, get in there. Doesn't matter. If you got hurt one hand, use the other. You know? So what if you got a hurt finger or a hurt shoulder? Still box, fight. You know, they push you a little bit more. Over in Europe, you know, you get into a fight, you hurt your hand. They go, oh, you hurt your hand, you better rest it. You better rest it or don't throw it. So their mentality and thinking is different about boxing.
So says the great European champion.
Yes.
Before we let you go, Lennox, the fight that you would like to see most made in 2016 for the sport of boxing, what fight could they make this year that would make you go, you know what, this is bringing boxing back, this is the kind of fight that people want to see?
Triple G against Canelo?
I'm with you 100%. Yep. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, let's have it. Let's bring it on.
You think it's going to happen?
Sure. It's the only thing separating is paper.
Yeah. The green paper?
That green paper. That's it.
That's the great former heavyweight champion, Lennox Lewis. Appreciate you taking the time with us, sir.
Thank you.
Enjoy Vegas out here, my man.
I will, too.
Thank
Bless.
You.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. So, guys, I got to tell you about my good friends at HoustonCarsForKids.com. And this is such a great thing that they do at Houston Cars for Kids. All you have to do is donate a vehicle you're not using anymore. Maybe it's been sitting in your garage. You couldn't figure out what to do with it. Or it's sitting out in front of your house, and it's just been there for a while. Well, donate it to Houston Cars for Kids. Here's what they'll do. They'll come pick it up, tow it free of charge. They'll fill out all the paperwork for you, and you get a tax donation, tax-deductible donation out of it. How cool is that? All for just getting rid of something you don't need anymore. And if you donate today and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get Astros tickets on top of that. The reason they need your donation is because that money goes to Houston Can Academies, which is a fantastic, fantastic school that takes in kids who are at-risk kids who've dropped out of other schools and gives them a second chance. And so many of them go on to do great things. So many of them go on and graduate, and that makes us a better world. All because you donated a vehicle. It's that simple. So all you have to do, give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed?
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby, 4 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
Joining us now is the man who is taking one of these fighters into the main event, the trainer for Amir Khan. Virgil Hunter joins us. How are you, good sir?
I'm doing great this morning.
Is this fight week excitement? I mean, how you feeling going into this week?
Well, it's another day at the office, but I'm glad and thankful to be here. It's part of the game, and very few of us get to experience it at this level, and I'm thankful to be able to experience it at this level.
A lot of people saying that Amir is kind of being fed to Canelo as a sort of a sacrificial type thing. You know, they just needed somebody who had a name that had no chance of beating him. The odds have Amir as a big underdog. Tell me why Vegas and the media and maybe just people in general are underestimating your fighter.
Well, I don't think when you accomplish the things that Amir has accomplished that you can feed him to anybody. That usually, you know, suggests an opponent who's going to get a good payday. Amir's had made a lot of money for a long time. His thing is that he wants to go down in boxing lore because he realizes there are a lot of great boxers, but he realizes also there's only a few legends. And to reach that legendary status, you have to do something legendary. So he's putting himself in a very dangerous situation, putting himself in harm's way to try to accomplish that. He wants to find out who he really and truly is as a fighter. And the only way you can find that out is to stack everything against you. So that's why we're here.
When he brings this fight to you and says, hey, what do you think of this? What's your initial reaction when you think about the size differential and things like that? What do you first say to Amir?
Well, it didn't happen that way. He didn't bring it to me. I was in communication with his dad. The only question I asked Amir is, why did he want the fight? And then the answers that he gave me was sufficient enough to let me know that I could prepare him for this fight. And also the size that he has, that he's matured into. So there is a big difference in size, but I don't know how significant it'll be. But I guess Saturday night will tell us all.
How much of a difference has your coaching made in his game from what we've seen from Amir in the past and from what we'll see from Amir Saturday night?
Well, he's always been a winner. We've been successful so far. I think if he wins Saturday night, that it will say that everything that we worked on since we first connected came together for that moment in time. And of course, you know, you have to be honest with yourself and say that, hey, we made great strides and we climbed some really tall mountains, but we got to the mountaintop in this particular situation. But then when that one's over, there's another one to climb. So maybe that one will be enough for him. It would be a legendary feat. Maybe he'll look for more.
When how different will this fight be for Amir in terms of, you know, we saw what Mayweather did to Canelo. Is there do you take some of that and put that into your game, what Floyd does, or is he just too different of a fighter?
There's a big difference because of the IQ factor and just Floyd's knowledge of the ring and distance and timing and knowing when and when not to. You know, you have to have that experience by being in this sport a long time. But he does have some physical attributes, not just his speed, that can cause quite a bit of problems if he uses them at the right time.
You have another fighter, even a bigger star than Amir Khan, even, in Andre Ward, who has accepted what I think is the biggest fight of his career coming up in November. I guess they're going to do they're both fighters, if I'm not mistaken, you correct me, both fighters are doing sort of a warm-up fight in July before they fight each other in November.
Correct.
Does Andre have an opponent for that July fight? And why did you guys decide on November for the Kovalev fight?
You know what? I've seen November. I don't know, in fact, if it will be that date. I mean, I really don't know. But, yeah, we don't have an opponent yet. The team is working on that right now. Hopefully within a week we'll, you know, hear something and get the right person to step up and fight. That's why we came out of the garage and mothballs and fought number one. So he couldn't turn us down. But to be factual about it, everybody turns the fights down or they price themselves out.
Does this fight with Kovalev, as a trainer, does it excite you to see your guy, Andre, who's such a skilled technical boxer, to put that in the ring against a guy who just hits like a truck? And, like, to see the clash of styles as a trainer, it's got to be kind of exciting for you.
Yeah. I've seen trucks smashed up, too. So, you know, people tend to look at it one-sided, you know. They don't look at it both ways because he's got to get hit, too.
Of course.
Yeah. So,
Andre's a lot harder to hit than a lot of the other guys he's been hitting.
Well, that's true. And Andre hits a lot harder than what they think he does. That's why you never see nobody want a rematch with him. That's why you never see anybody want to fight him. Fighters know, peers know. And that's who we let judge us, our peers, not anybody on the outside looking in. So his peers judge him, regardless of what anybody else says. So when you see his peers speak of him, then you get the truth. So I respect Kovalev and his team. He's a great fighter. You can't take that away from him. But Andre's daring himself. He didn't go to light heavyweight not to fight Kovalev. He went to light heavyweight to fight Kovalev.
That's Virgil Hunter, the trainer for Amir Khan and Andre Ward. His fight will be taken on Canelo this Saturday, May 7th at T-Mobile Arena, of course, in the main event. Appreciate you taking some time with us, Mr.
Thank
Hunter.
You. I appreciate you.
And good luck to your fighter this weekend.
Thank you very much.
There you go. That's Virgil Hunter.
All right, we'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Maybe, guys, you're sitting around today and you're thinking, my job doesn't have me out in Vegas interviewing people and eating delicious foods and watching fights for money. I want a better job. My job sucks. Well, you can't have my job, but I can tell you a way to get a better job. My computer career is the way to go. Ask yourself this. How many guys do you know working in the computer industry who are struggling to make ends meet? I'll answer that for you. You don't know any of them, because if you're working in computers, you're making good money right now, because there's a ton of computer jobs out there. IT is consistently ranked as one of the fastest-growing job industries in the country. Place to go to get the skills you need, mycomputercareer.edu. It's huge demand for certified pros. My Computer Career has job placement specialists that will work with you to get you hired, specifically in Houston, one of the hottest computer job markets in the country. There's companies all over the city hiring IT guys, but to get those jobs, you've got to have skills and certification. And I know what you're thinking. It's going to take me too long to go back to school. And again, I'll answer that for you. It's not going to take that long. You're in and out of school in less than a year. There's financial aid available, including the GI Bill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You're out of excuses. It's the first step to changing your life and making more money. Mycomputercareer.edu. Take that free career evaluation. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your
your cupcakes. It's a little secret, just a Robinson's affair. Most of all, you got to hide it from the kids. Keep it to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to the 142nd running of the Kentucky Derby, 4 p.m. Saturday on ESPN 97.5.
Joining us now on the program is one of the best, if not the best, pound-for-pound fighter in the whole wide world. The great Andre Ward joined us on the program. How you doing, sir?
Good, good. Happy to be here.
I'm happy to see you here, man. I feel like last time we talked, there was negotiations were starting, and we didn't know yet for sure if we were going to get you and Kovalev to fight. Now it seems like, I guess there's not a date hammered out, but there is an agreement in place. You guys are both going to take a fight in between. Are you excited to have this to look forward to now?
Oh, of course. I think we just both have to handle business in the summer, and I think that's a fight that is going to happen. So, and I think that you know, is possibly the biggest fight in boxing right now.
Is it weird for you? Because most people we've talked to since that fight got made, a good majority, anyway, seem to think that that's Kovalev's fight. Meanwhile, you've never done anything to make anyone think that you're a beatable fighter. Are you? Do you kind of like relish being the underdog at this point?
I mean, you know, it's good to be favored in a sense, and then you know, I also know what it feels like to be an underdog, like you said. So it's just it comes with it. It comes with the territory, you know. And I tend to see that. Whenever you face a big challenge, a lot of times, especially with a guy, you know, with a reputation like Kovalev's, you know, moving up in weight, you know, the ball seems to be in his court in terms of, you know, who's favorite, the weight, the reputation, different things like that. And, you know, most guys are leaning that way. I mean, I don't read a lot of it, but I've been kind of hearing, you know, basically what you just told me. So, but it's all good, man. I enjoy it. And, you know, let's get it on, man. I that doesn't sway me either way, you know, because I got a job to do. And, you know, I try not to get too high with the praises or too low with the criticism. I try to fight to stay in the middle because I think that's a good place to be.
Kovalev, known as one of the heaviest punchers in boxing, and I think that's why he's such an easy guy to see winning the fight, because he hits people and they fall down. I think people don't realize, though, that often in these style matchups where it's a great boxer versus a great puncher, the great boxer often has an upper hand. Do you feel like this is that style of a matchup where you're going to get to show off your skills?
I mean, in no way am I like comparing myself to these two gentlemen I'm going to mention, but to me this is kind of like Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard, you know, all over again. You know, same reputation, same type of guys, and obviously I'm Leonard, so to speak. You know, I'm coming with the you know, the amateur pedigree, with the record that I have, the things that I've accomplished, and he's coming in as the guy who is quote-unquote feared. So, you know, I think sometimes I get not a bad rap, it's a good thing, you know, but a tag is just a boxer, as if, you know, I'm going to be running around the ring trying to avoid him, you know, all night or any big puncher for that matter. And I'm realistic. I mean, you're going to get hit. And I prepare myself to get hit, and I fought a lot of big punchers in my career, some of the best in my division, some of the best in the sport. And we've shown that we have a tremendous chance. That doesn't get talked about a lot when my name is brought up. But that's okay, because when the fight starts, you know, that's the time to show people. You know, I get hit with a good shot, I'm able to come back and hit a guy back. And people, you know, they realize that, you know, at least opponents do, that I'm not just a boxer, that I'm much more than that. But by the time they figure that out, a lot of times the fight is over.
Is this a fight that you think can sort of cement your status as the greatest fighter in the world right now if you were to go in there and win? Because, like I said, you're arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You go in there and beat this guy. Do you think that puts you at the top of the pile?
I think it very, very well could. I think it very well
could. Is that something that you care about? You care for legacy purposes?
Of course, of course, of course. I mean, obviously this is prize fighting, so, you know, we fight for a prize, and I enjoy getting that prize at the end of the fights. You know, I think myself and the other guys that get in there, you know, we earn it. But legacy is something that I think about all the time. And I haven't given myself much time to think about it in terms of where I stand at this point, or even if, you know, I win that fight, but more or less just like I know that, you know, it's my time now, my legacy and you know, everything is still being written, so I'm very, very cognizant of that, and it's very, very, very important to me.
Talk a little bit about your trainer. We talked to him a little bit earlier in the show, and obviously he's busy this week as well.
Just a little bit.
You've got a little something going on. It's pretty amazing to me that this is a guy that you've been working with since you were 9 years old, and the relationship, I mean, I see these other fighters who have up-and-down relationships with their trainers, and they have falling outs. I mean, this has been your entire life, basically. You've been working with this same guy, and apparently it seems to be running pretty well. I mean, does that surprise you in a way?
Yeah, I think it's rare, like you just mentioned, especially today, because, you know, not with everyone. There's, you know, there's other guys, like, I mean, Canelo's people, you know, he's got a father-son team that he's with. He's been with them for a very long time. But, you know, things happen. You know, things happen, you know, especially when there's money involved. It's no longer just about the love of the sport or, you know, or helping a fighter progress. Now it's about money. How much are you going to give me? And a lot of times that's really the dispute that I've seen between fighters and trainers is maybe the trainer feels like he should get more. The fighter feels like I should save more because I'm out there taking the risk. It's tricky. But when you do see a team like myself or Canelo's, and I'm sure there's other people I'm missing out there. I mean, even Floyd and his father, Floyd Mayweather. I mean, if you look at, even though him and his dad had a falling out at some point in time, they reconciled, they figured it out. And if it wasn't Roger, the uncle, it was Floyd Sr., the dad. So they kept it in the family. So those types of things are rare. Like you said, it's a breath of fresh air when you see it. And obviously, you know, with my team, I'm happy to, you know, that I've only had one guy.
And it helps when you win all your fights, because then there's no reason to change. Because that's when I see the most the
weird
most,
things happen with losses.
When a guy loses, suddenly the trainer's messing up this or that. The
fingers
fighters
start going like,
yeah,
this.
There's always got to be someone to blame. Andre, I'm. What do you think of the Canelo Khan fight? I mean, obviously you got a little bit of a vested interest in Amir, but what do you think of that fight tomorrow night?
I think it's going to be a great, great fight. I think that I really like Canelo, and of course I like Khan. You know, his style and his temperament and his willingness to face the best. But also personally, he trains with our camp, like you said. And I think this is going to be, again, like most matchups are, like who's going to execute? You know, I think Amir's a lot bigger and stronger than people think. Obviously, Canelo's more natural at this weight. I think people think that as soon as Canelo hits Khan that it's over. I don't believe that. I've seen Khan take big punches in fights. I've seen him take big punches in the gym. He can take a punch, but you don't want to give a guy like Canelo too many clean shots.
Right.
So it's a lot of ebbs and flows. It's a matter of who executes. Can Amir implement the game plan, which is be smart, box, and pick the right time to exchange? And Canelo's probably going to have to go get Khan and put pressure and enforce his will. But can he do it? That's the question.
Is this fight a little bit does it sort of mirror what you are looking to in November?
I think somewhat. You know, I think somewhat. Yeah. I think it can.
And from what I understand, at least what Virgil said, this Amir, the reason he took this fight is because he wants to cement himself in, you know, the all-time standings,
yes.
And a win over Canelo solidifies his legacy as one of the greats.
It definitely does, and I've said this throughout this promotion, you know, when I'm asked about it, like, you know, obviously, Canelo and Khan, they come to win. They've had great camps, I'm sure. They come to win. But, you know, from Khan's standpoint, you know, I really tip my hat to this young man because even when he first came in our camp years ago, you know, I just had so much respect for him because, you know, he gets a bad rap. Oh, he can't take a punch. All this, but he's all, hey, these things happen. There's only, like, one Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Where you can get through 40-some-odd fights and have never really taken a beating. And, yeah, you've been buzzed and hurt, but never really knocked out or knocked down. These things happen, and they can happen quickly with one punch. But this guy's always persevered and bounced back. And then he says, no, I want Floyd. Then, okay, I can't get Floyd. I want Pacquiao. And then, oh, I can't get Pacquiao. Give me Canelo, a guy that's bigger and stronger than them both. So you have to respect Khan for that. And Canelo – some people say, oh, it's an easy fight. It's not so. You got to respect Canelo because I think if you watch his career, he's always been willing to face the best. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy it as a fan. Obviously, I want Team Khan to win. I'm pulling for those guys, but I'm going to enjoy it because it's going to be a great matchup.
You know, one more before we let you go, and you mentioned there's only one Floyd Mayweather and 40-something fights without a loss. I mean, as your number continues to rise, that number in the left side of the column, and, you know, you get up to 29, now you're probably 30 over the summer. I mean, knock on wood. But,
exactly.
I mean, once you get to that number, does it start to put more pressure on you? Because, you know, if you get to 45-0, 50-0, you're not only in the conversation as the best of this era, you get put in the conversation of one of the best ever. Does that pressure weigh on you at all?
You know, in a weird way.
And one L could change the way people look
everything.
At you, you know?
I mean, that's boxing.
Yeah.
That's boxing. But I think just, you know, the fear of losing and that kind of thing, like that element is always there. And in some cases, that may even drive me. My last defeat was probably when I was 14 years old. 14 years old, right? It's been a long time. I'm 32 years old, and I've went through nationals. I've went through, obviously, the Olympics in a almost 30-fight professional career against the best in the business. But somehow, some way, I'm kind of able to compartmentalize what I'm doing and just every now and again I'll glance at the accomplishments. I'll glance at the record and say, wow, you know, the streak is pretty good. And, you know, man, if you keep going, man, hey, you know, you can get here. But I just really focus on staying in the moment. And because of that, I don't get a chance to enjoy a lot that happens. But if I just stay in this place, I think I'll be okay. Even as everything is moving, oh, you could be a Hall of Famer. I just got to stay in the moment and just kind of let everybody else do the talking and give their opinions. And then hopefully one day I can look back and say, you know what? Pretty great career, man.
You remember that kid that beat you when you were 14? You remember his name?
Yes, I do. It was John Revish from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Where's he at now?
Unfortunately, I think he might have passed or he's not doing too well. But it was at the Silver Gloves National in Lenexa, Kansas in the finals. I think he really beat me. He beat me. I take my hat off to him. And it feels like it was just yesterday. So, yeah, I'm still not happy about that.
Andre, hey, man, I appreciate you taking some time with us. It's an honor and privilege to talk to you. And I'm looking forward so much to this fight in November. It's one of the fights. That fight and Golovkin-Canelo are fights that I've been hammering the table for people to make. I'm glad that one of them got done. Hopefully we can get another one pretty soon.
Right.
But best of luck to you, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for having me.
That's the great Andre Ward. Hey, guys, any of our blitzers out there who own a business or manage a business, you're working in a spot where you've got to hire. If you are, you know that's a very, very difficult job, hiring the right people. Posting your job in one place isn't good enough anymore. If you want to find the perfect guys to fill your positions, you need to post your job on all the job sites. And now you can with ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. You just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface.
Yeah, I've hired a lot of people, and you want to get the right candidate, and you want to get the best possible candidates, and that's what ZipRecruiter does. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You can quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 800,000 businesses. Why not you? And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/play. That's ZipRecruiter.com/play. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/play. Got another appointment.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn blue and the sky green. A little drop of dreams can go so far. I know you got the anger of a burning sun.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guys, come join me tomorrow at Sam Houston Race Park, along with the ESPN 97.5 road crew, in the special ESPN 97.5 section beginning at 1 o'clock. It's for the Kentucky Derby. You can play in the handicapping contest, watch, wager, and win with Sam Houston Race Park and ESPN 97.5. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and jump right in and do stupid stuff we said this week.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
It's an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in our code Fred and AJ. This is where you take over, Fred. Right now, you can get Sherry's freshly dipped strawberries for just $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more with our code Fred and AJ. Take two.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be your mother. It could be the mother of your children. You know what? You want to shame her boyfriend, too. You want to give her better than...
Oh, punk him out.
Yeah, exactly.
He's having sex with your mom. You've got to get vengeance. Well, get a premium base.
I was talking about the guys. But anyway, tell you what, though. Here's the only way. If you want to punk them out, the only way to get 100 blooms with a free glass vase starting in 1999. What's up, Doc?
Hey, sports.
Crickets. Okay.
All right, Doc.
Well, nice.
I heard him make a noise.
Yeah, I think he was there. John, can we get dust in the wind for Ted Cruz and the entire Republican Party?
With his pro-life views, that Ted Cruz should have been forced to carry this unviable presidential campaign to term. He should have had to go all the way through the end with it and then put it up for adoption.
You've been waiting to say that all day.
I have been.
How about we give something away to the people?
You're so generous.
How about a Nothing But Cake $20 gift card?
Nothing Bunt Cake.
Bunt Cakes. Yes, Nothing Bunt Cakes. What do you think I said?
Nothing But Cakes.
I did not say that.
Chong, run back the tape.
The worst grown thing. Men subtweeting high school kids?
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
Well, and
keep it 100. Right?
What does that mean?
Keep it 100%, right? Keep it 100% legit.
Yeah. Well, I know what keeping it 100 means.
What does that mean?
That means keeping it. That's
no one says keeping it 100.
What do they say?
Keeping it 100 or 100.
I know we talked about this last time I was here a year ago. My whole family is deaf, and it's okay to make deaf jokes. I'm not going to.
Good, because I have a ton that I'm going to get to later.
It's funny because I really learned a lot about how sensitive people are to groups that they don't even belong to. And meanwhile, the most insane deaf jokes I've ever heard in my life were from my own deaf family. I took my sister out to dinner a year ago. We're sitting down having dinner, and she's signing to me. She goes, "Do you want to hear a good joke?" And I go, "Yeah, sure." And she goes, "Me too." And I was like, "Oh my God, what the hell? Jesus, what the
hell?" Yeah.
Stupid stuff we've said this week.
All right, some stupid stuff indeed. So, AJ, final thoughts on the fight here as we have Canelo and Khan, and obviously that's why we're here. So, your prediction, sir?
My prediction is similar to what everyone else seems to think is going to happen. I just believe that Canelo is too good. I believe that he is too big. This jump in weight class is too much for Khan. I do love Khan's speed. He's got the fastest hands in the game, damn near. I think he can give Canelo some trouble, particularly early on. But I think by the time it's said and done, Canelo's just too much. And I'm going to say round 7, that's where I'm going to call the knockout or the TKO. Canelo in the 7th over Khan, even though, I do think Khan can give him some trouble early.
I think Khan can give him some trouble throughout the fight. I think his quickness is going to keep him from getting hit that much. I think Canelo wins the fight. I think he's the guy who forces the action. But I think it goes decision. And from a betting perspective, you're getting a pretty good number on that. So I really like Canelo, but when I look at his record, there's just not that many fights on there that jump out at you where you say, wow, that's a good win. Miguel Cotto, who maybe Miguel Cotto is over the hill too at this point.
Right.
But he lost to Mayweather. And Shane Mosley's a name that jumps at you, but Shane was done by then. So, and the Kirkland fight was supposed to be a challenge. It wasn't. So I think he's really good. I think he's better than Amir Khan, and I think he wins the fight. But I do have a sneaking suspicion this one's going to go the distance. So, yeah, you'll be there, though. And I guess your wife is getting to go, too?
She is. She's excited. She's going to get all gussied up for fight night and go on out there. And it should be a fun time, man. It should be a fun time. I'm looking forward to that night.
Yeah, it should be. I would love to be there, but need to get back and get my derby on tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to. And got all my picks if you want them. I tweeted them out yesterday. It's on my timeline. It's on the Facebook page for the Blitz. It's on my Facebook page. So complete breakdown of the race, every possible thing you would want to know. And hopefully we'll be right and make a ton of money, and everybody will be happy, and we'll all be celebrating. If not, oh well. We'll try again when it comes to the Preakness.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna feel bad if I don't hit this one after hitting 5 of the last 6.
I don't like your confidence on this one.
You
seem shook.
Confidence level out of 10 is about a 5.
Okay.
So, but we'll see how it plays out. But I'm going to get on a plane here, along with our buddy Michael Pearson, who always does a great job while we're out here.
He did do great work.
Yeah, and get back to H-Town. And hopefully maybe go out, get a little drink on tonight,
hang out at one of my favorite hangouts, and then head to the track tomorrow. Not quite the fun night that you're having tomorrow, but pretty good. So anyway, 713-780-ESPN. 832 says 97.5 can't even proofread the live reads, and we expect newspapers to actually do editing. Chances are reading the Chron or Grumpy Old Man. Well, they are Grumpy Old Men, but we're not in the business of editing stuff. I mean, I used to be, but anyway. All right, so that's going to wrap it up. I'm about to get on a plane. I want to thank A.J. Hoffman for doing a fantastic job, as always. All of our great guests who came out here and did a fantastic job for us as well. Michael Pearson, who is just amazing. He really does everything out here. Jong Lee, back in studio, for keeping us on air and keeping things running smoothly, as he always does. Looking forward to getting back to H-Town. We'll be back at studio on Monday. Kind of looking forward to that as well. And we'll start taking some calls again, and we can get caught up on all the things that happened this weekend. And want to thank you all for listening. We'll see you back on Monday. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.